Welcome, everyone, to the Nomad on Fire podcast, the show all about the digital nomad lifestyle coupled with financial independence. We'll also be exploring tips and tricks on other lifestyle optimization strategies. I'm your host, Eric. Thanks for being here. Let's jump right in. All right. Casey Hogan, welcome to the Nomad on Fire podcast.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Cool. Yeah. Excited to be chatting with you today. You're doing the van life. So I don't know if I've had anyone on the podcast yet that has been doing the van life. So excited to hear all about it. So I guess with that, if you don't mind getting us started today with just what your background and kind of what your story is.
Sure. So I have been on the road for 3 months now. I grew up in Rhode Island, went to school in Boston, and then stayed there for, I've been living there for 10 years before I hit the road. And I have always had, like, since I was a kid, this desire to be fiercely independent and do things a little bit unconventionally. So when I saw van life and learned about van life, I just knew that was for me. From there, there was no plan. I had a full-time job that I needed to be on site. I wasn't working remotely. So just kind of kept it in the back of my head as like, I will do this eventually. And then COVID hit and just flipped everything on its head for everyone. For me, I ended up moving into a role of a COVID-19 food access response program. So I switched jobs. And it all happened so quickly. The need for that program was so urgent. So I quit my job and then started this new job like 3 days later. Before I had pieced together that the commute would be significantly less expensive and a whole lot easier if I just got a car. So figured if I'm going to make the investment, I might as well just get the van. And then again, eventually I will figure it out, how to get it built out and find a job that'll get me on the road. Sort of looked into that while working in this job just to kind of get a feel for builders. There aren't a ton of resources in New England for van life. I never really saw them around Boston. If you go to the woods, like in New Hampshire and Maine, you see a few, but nothing compared to what I'm seeing now. And the closest builder I could find was in Nashville. So I was kind of chatting with them, wasn't super psyched about them. That just didn't end up working out. But eventually found a builder in Connecticut, which was huge. I was convinced I was going to need to drive the van like 8 hours to at least to go get it built out. So started chatting with them. The initial like idea was to just get a feel, see if I liked them, see if they could build what I wanted. And he totally could. He had built a few vans already and he told me he was booking up really quickly. So I just took the next available spot he had. It was maybe 6 months later. And again, was just like, I'll get the van built out and I'll figure out how to get on the road eventually. So built out the van, and then around the same time the need for this program that I was working on was, as people were getting vaccinated, like the need was not there as much. We decided I was going to transition to part-time, and with that part-time, I could work remotely. Which was, I want to say maybe 6 weeks after my van was done. So it really just ended up that the stars aligned on this idea that I had, and you know, work and all of that just got me out on the road a lot sooner than I had imagined. So that's where I am now. I'm still working on this program where we're beginning to wind down, but it's, you know, allowed me to work remotely and do the van thing.
Amazing. That's so cool. Yeah. I have so many, so many questions here.
Bring it on.
What all did they do to the van? And like, what kind of cost was that? And what should people like expect if they're wanting to do like van conversion?
Yeah, it's a hard question to answer just because there's so many different ways that you can build a van. I've seen a lot of people do it themselves. It saves you a lot of money on labor. I did not, because the van would not still be standing if I did that myself. But so for me, I did a pretty, I don't have like the most extensive build out, but it does have. So like one thing a lot of folks joke about with van life is the struggle to find a shower, or even like some people go without a bathroom, and I built those things into my van. So that, you know, adds a little bit. I think when folks do it themselves, they can get it done and do a build similar to mine for about maybe 12 to 15 grand. It usually takes them a long time. Like I think I typically hear like anywhere from like 6 to 12 months to do it. My builder did my build out with like full insulation, kitchen, shower. I've got a closet, which is like a little bit, you don't always see that. He did that in 10 weeks for about 40 grand. With the popularity of van life just skyrocketing, I think a lot of pricing has changed. I know he's booked out for a really long time. And I think some other folks I've heard that want to do van life, they said they can't get a slot until like 2023. So I don't know what pricing looks like anymore, but that's what I did.
Oh my gosh. Wow. And then what kind of van is it?
I have a 2019 Ford Transit.
Okay, sweet. And I'm just like, I've seen a lot of like van life kind of like, you know, Instagram or YouTube videos and stuff, but what's the reason why you would want to do like van life versus like having an RV or something? Like, what are the main kind of differences there?
Yeah, good question. For me initially, it was, so my van is the shorter model. There's a, within like each type of van, you can get different lengths and heights and things. I have the shortest one and it fits in a normal parking spot, which was big for me because I knew I'd want to be, you know, going out and camping, but also like I'm in Denver right now and I'm in a parking space that I needed to be able to fit in to do this. So, that's why I chose that. I actually have made two very good friends, through just the nomad community. And they both are in RVs and I am often envious of how much space they have, but you know, sometimes they're reliant on hookups or different things to power their rig. And I don't need that. There's pros and cons to both, but yeah, like I run fully on solar. I can, you know, sneak into a normal parking spot. That kind of convenience is why I chose the van.
For sure. That's sweet. Cool. So you got the, you went to part-time, went remote with your job, and then the van like a few weeks before had been converted. So then you set off on the road. Where was like your first destination?
Yeah, I kind of eased myself into it. I had a friend who was planning to go to his family lake house in North Carolina. So we took the van on a 17-hour drive. I did the whole thing myself, but I had him there in case I needed to tag out. Yeah, so we went to North Carolina and then kind of hung out at his lake house. So did the drive, went back to real house life. And then I set out on full-time van life and have been in the van since then. So did North Carolina, made my way to Asheville. I made my way west pretty quickly. I needed to be in Seattle to pick up another friend, which is another fun part of van life, just like getting friends to come out and hang out with you, take them on an adventure. So I needed to go meet a friend in Seattle within like 6 weeks. So I had to kind of truck west and then head north. And now I'm just cruising now that I don't have anywhere specific to be.
Cruising. Nice. Yeah. A lot of time in like the Southwest. Is that where you've been or?
Yeah, I did. I made my way west through North Carolina and Tennessee through Kansas City, went a little bit south to New Mexico, through Arizona, and then made my way over to LA and then did the coast.
Sweet. Full tour of the US.
Yeah. Did a little loop there. Yeah.
Cool. I forgot to ask did you have an apartment lease or did you put stuff in storage? Like what did you do in terms of like other stuff.
Yeah, that was another one that the stars really aligned for me. I had to leave my apartment that I had been in for like 9 years during COVID. My lease was up, whatever. It's a long story, but left there. And then this job that I took, we really didn't know how long I was going to be doing it. It was pretty COVID dependent. So the initial thought was I would be working for them for 6 weeks. And when I explained that to the landlord of a friend of mine, there was a unit below her that was available. I explained to them what I was doing and they were like, absolutely, you know, you can do month to month. That's awesome what you're doing. We're happy to work with you. So they were, it's pretty rare to find that in Boston, but I was very fortunate to find it. So I ended up doing month to month with them until I hit the road, which I think we all thought was going to be maybe like 2 or 3 months, but it ended up being almost a year. So I did leave. I don't have a home base. That lease ended. I sold most of my stuff, honestly, which is helpful because van life does save you some money, but getting up and going, part of it is similar to moving into a new house. Like a lot of things from my apartment, I could move in here, but there were other things I needed to get. Like I have a different size bed now and I got some things to like maximize storage. Like it's very similar to moving into a new apartment or a new house. So yeah, being able to sell stuff and then use that money to buy new things was helpful. And I do have a little bit stored at my family's house, but it's really not very much. Now that the seasons are changing, I'm thinking through what kinds of things I might need. And it's not a whole lot.
Very cool. Yeah. I lucked out when I started traveling because I lived with my brother and I just kind of sold most of my stuff to him. Mm-hmm. So it was pretty easy. I didn't have to go like piece by piece and sell off different items. It was just kind of like a package deal.
That's awesome.
Basically gave him most of the stuff, but he was also like, I've had this TV, like this TV has been in the apartment for 3 years. And I'm like, yeah, but like, it's my TV. Like I paid for it. Like you gotta give me some money here for like, you're getting a bunch of electronics and like all this furniture for, you know, give me something.
Heck yeah. That's the deal.
Yeah.
It's a deal when you're downsizing.
Yeah. It was good though. It was easier for me and he got like basically everything he needed. So worked out pretty well.
Nice. Good deal.
Mm-hmm. And then I know you kind of mentioned it in terms of the conversion, but yeah, like what all do you have in there? So you have a bed, you said you have a closet, you have a full bathroom. Is that right?
It's not your like traditional bathroom, but yeah, I have a full bed, my closet, I've got some overhead storage that's really handy. And then I have a countertop in my kitchen that if I flip it, I flip the counter up, you can like attach a shower head to the under. It's kind of hard to explain. I have a tour of it on my Instagram, but because I get asked about it all the time. you can attach the shower head to the bottom of the flipped up countertop and there's a 2-foot by 2-foot shower there. So I take like a shower curtain and hook it into the ceiling and have a little 2-by-2 shower. And then under one of my bench seats is where my composting toilet lives. So bathroom stuff, not like its own bathroom. Some people do build that into their van. And I think that for like the longer vans, that's a really cool addition. Mm-hmm. But mine's kind of like pieced together in here.
Nice. Very cool. Yeah. I'll link it up in the show notes so people can take a look at the tour and check it out.
Cool.
Sweet. How about for like remote working? Like what does your setup look like for that? Like, do you have a desk in the van or do you try to go to like cafes? What do you do for Wi-Fi?
Yeah, I have a Lagoon table, which is this cool like frame for a table that lets me swing my table. So it lives under my bed and I swing it back out when I want to use it and I can move it to all different heights or move it closer to the kitchen if I want to use it when I'm in the kitchen. So that's what I have in the van. And I've been using that for the majority of my time in the van. I've been camping mostly, but now whenever I'm in a city, I do go to coffee shops. I was never that person before moving into the van. I love working from home, but it is kind of small and just getting out and like seeing other people and using Wi-Fi is nice. And then I have a, I just use my hotspot with my cell plan for Wi-Fi, which kind of decides where I go. If I have a stretch of time where I'm not working, I can go where there's no service, but I do need service to work. So finding that as a priority whenever I'm traveling.
For sure. Is it like an additional hotspot unit or do you just like hotspot off your phone?
I just hotspot off my phone. Yeah.
Oh, that's sweet. Okay. Is it what like provider do you have? Is it unlimited or do you get capped?
Yeah. No, I think they throttle you, but I have not noticed. I don't remember at what point they throttle you, but I do everything with it for the most part. If I happen to be somewhere where there's Wi-Fi, I'll use that. But I stream Netflix, I work, I do video calls, all of that, and have not had an issue. I do have another hotspot. I have a Google Fi hotspot for my security system. I have a Simply Safe security system in the van. I try not to use that. The rates on that are kind of insane.
Really?
But yeah, I only have my security system hooked up to that. And some months it's like $20 and then other months it's like 85. I don't know.
Oh,
I'm
geez.
Talking to them to try to figure that out. But yeah. I do have that if I need to. I know a lot of people will have like unlimited data on their phone and then have a hotspot with another provider. Like I hear that AT&T and Verizon have in some places, like one has better coverage than the other. So that kind of gets them covered almost everywhere. So that was kind of the thought too, like the Google Fi could be a backup, but Verizon has been fine. I mean, there's definitely places where I don't have service, but not as many as I was anticipating.
Yeah. I feel like Verizon usually has pretty good service. I used to have like a separate hotspot for them and I would use it for work stuff sometimes.
Nice.
And then, yeah, for traveling, like internationally, I switched over to Google Fi and I like,
oh, okay.
I loved it for that. Like it was so convenient. Like you just,
yeah,
the plane would touch down and be like, oh, welcome to Peru. And like, I'd have 4G, like full bars. It was pretty awesome.
Nice. That's awesome. Yeah. I could see how that would be handy. It's all like in one, like you can do internet text and calls, like all on that because they give you the SIM card. So I could see how that would be cool or helpful.
Yeah. It was nice. Like I didn't have to change my number or anything, which was pretty sweet. Nice. And it worked like every country I went to. There's a few, like I have an iPhone on it and there's a few like weird things. Like I have to have an app to get my voicemails. So there's like a few kind of interesting things. Sometimes picture messages don't send if it's like not iMessage, if it's to like an Android phone or something. But overall, I was pretty happy with it.
Nice.
Sweet. So what is like what does a typical day look like? I guess it kind of depends on if you're working or not, but maybe a week. What does like a typical week look like? That might be a better
question. That's a good, I do get that question a lot. And I think that's maybe a better way to think it through. But yeah, I work typically 3 days a week. On those days, I'm in the van or in a coffee shop, just getting work done. And then the other days I do a lot of exploring. I'm actually, now that I'm a couple months in, I'm trying to get better at having like lazy days like I had when I was in an apartment every so often, just because like the recharge time is really helpful. But I so far have not been super good at that. So I do a lot of exploring. I have a lot of folks that give me good recommendations on places to go, or I just like do my own research and figure it out. But typically there's hiking involved most days. I'm in a city like I am now, scoping out farmers markets or like if there's a public market in that city, that I love those kinds of things. And just trying to get a feel for like the more popular neighborhoods, maybe spend like an afternoon in each one. Because while I'm here, you know, I want to really be able to say I've been there. So researching and taking time to explore. I'm rarely spending a lot of time. Like I have to do, you know, the grocery shopping and laundry and all of that, but I don't know that that makes, I think I probably end up doing that once every like 2 or 3 weeks. And then I'm afraid to say this, I'm going to like knock on wood right now, but I don't spend a ton of time yet on van maintenance. I'm going to say that out loud and like my tire is going to pop right away. but as long as I keep up with like knowing when I need an oil change or whatever, I can usually group it all together and get it done all in one go, which is nice because like I have some friends in RVs. Like one of them has been back home for a month because her RV needs, I don't know the extent of what RVs need, but she's like, yeah, I'm just like getting my warranty work done. I'm like, okay, I didn't know you needed a month's worth of work on an RV periodically, but okay.
Right. Yeah.
And I haven't had anything like that, but we're still pretty early on. Sorry about this ambulance noise. I can stop for a second if you're picking that up.
Oh, no worries. A lot of my first episodes I recorded in Mexico City, and I forget. I think they were like the garbage trucks, but these trucks would always go by and had this like weird siren noise on them.
Oh, boy. I
just have to pause.
Yeah. Yeah, that's typically like no couple of days or weeks are the same just because you're doing things differently in any city you go to. But yeah, exploring and working make up most of my time.
Awesome. Yeah. That sounds so cool with like a part-time schedule there that you have like the 3 days working, but then you like have a 4 day weekend to just explore and check different places out. That's awesome.
Yeah. It's been interesting because for the first maybe 2 months, I was like, I'm never going to want to go back to full time. Why would I ever want to go back to full time? I get to like on a random Tuesday, just go explore. Like yesterday I went out to Red Rocks and was at a concert on a like Monday night. Like,
yeah,
it was sweet, but I'm starting to feel like I'm ready to be useful for more of my time. I really did not expect that to happen, but with our program winding down, I'm starting to think about what's coming next. And I'm looking at both part-time and full-time, but I'm not as resistant to a full-time gig as I thought I would be. So interesting how that played out, and we'll see where I end up.
For sure. Nice. Yeah. I definitely want to ask you about kind of like what you're thinking for the future in a little bit. One thing I thought of though, if you don't mind sharing, like what is like your typical budget for the month, or is it like more than you were spending in Boston? Is it less? Like,
it's definitely less. So essentially my rent is my car payment.
Mm-hmm.
And rent in Boston is no joke. I'm sure you guys can relate in Austin.
For sure.
Yeah. So that, I mean, what I'm spending on quote unquote rent is cut by like 2/3. But at the same time, you know, doing things like I'm going to museums or national parks and things like that a lot more often. So there's ways to do this in a cheaper way than I am. Like when I'm out in the woods, obviously there's not a lot. I'm not spending a lot. If I'm in a city, I typically am, because like going to the museum, trying out a new restaurant, whatever it is, costs more. So it varies. But yeah, for right now, with the luck I've had with the van, like nothing significant going wrong, it's definitely less than I'm spending in Boston. I don't know that it would be as significantly less as most people would assume. Like, I think a lot of people hear what I'm doing and they're like, well, you don't pay any rent. Like, you must be saving a ton of money. Some things do get more expensive, especially if you want to travel a lot, because these vans don't get like awesome gas mileage. I get maybe 15 miles to the gallon. So if you're going to haul and like go somewhere, you're filling up at least like 3 times. But it's, you know, you stay in one place, then you save. So it's really what you make of it. But for right now, with a mix of like camping and city stuff, I'm definitely saving in comparison to what I was spending in Boston.
Nice. Cool. So van life overall, like what are, now that you've experienced it for a little bit, like what are the pros and cons based on your experience?
The pros are kind of endless. I mean, the freedom amazing to just like go wherever you're curious about. And then, yeah, I mean, it's the extent that that is a pro, I feel like, is like three different pros in and of themselves.
What are those three different
things? Or no, just like, I feel like they count for like three cons. Like, I feel like it's an easy thing to say, but it's like such a huge pro. Uh-huh. Like when I like have meetings with my coworkers, they're like, oh, well, where are you headed next? And I'm like, oh, I don't know. I'm like kind of curious about this place, or like, maybe I'll go over here. And like, that's just so cool. Just nice of them. And also true. You know, being able to adapt my lifestyle to save money if I need to is nice. There's the conventional way of doing that in house life, but there's still some like fixed costs that you have there. And my costs are like, they can vary a lot more. So like in searching for what's next, if like that ends up taking longer than it needs to, like giving up on van life is not like the answer. It almost feels safer to stick with van life.
Yeah.
Just because of that flexibility you have. Cons. I mean, I am not above saying that I miss having a plumbed bathroom, like a shower, like a real shower is I just made a reel about this on Instagram recently, and some other like nomad friends are like, yeah, you never, you know, realize that something so small would feel like such a luxury. So, I just recently joined Planet Fitness, which is something a lot of folks in van life do, cause they have locations everywhere. So I know a lot of folks just use it for the shower. I'll go get a workout in and then shower, but that's been like a game changer. That's been really nice. It can sometimes be a little stressful finding places to park. City exploring is particularly challenging. In Denver, I got lucky. I found a spot where I've been able to go a couple of nights while I'm here, but like some cities just are really not super friendly to van life. Like one thing, I did find a place to park, but you need to periodically like go to a gas station or just a campsite to get rid of your gray water and all of that. And I so far have found free places to do that around here within an hour. At least there's only a couple of places and you have to pay like a minimum of $25. And for me, I have like one little jug under my sink. I'm not going to pay $25 to go dump that. Right, so like yeah. In situations like that, it's tough. Cause you know, you gotta honestly like eating out a little bit more helps. Cause then you're not using your sink to wash dishes or, just like going other places to go to the bathroom and that kind of stuff. You need to be more aware of that if you like are not up for spending that much to go dump, or if there's just like not a place around to do it. So that can get kind of frustrating. Especially in the beginning, but then once you kind of learn, okay, I'm not going to have a dump station until I drive at least like 2 hours, then, and you kind of learn what you need to do, then it's a little easier, but definitely like not a problem with house life.
Just being a little bit more strategic and planning it out.
Yeah. Yeah. If you want to look at it as like a game or like a puzzle and you got to figure out like, okay, how do I make it a week? You can probably make it fun, but some days it's like, I just don't want to deal with this.
Right.
Yeah. I had a lot of people warn me about, I travel with my dog. And I had a lot of people, you know, that have done this before, give me a lot of like tips or like precautionary tales and things like that. And we've managed, it has not been as hard as I was anticipating. If I do need to leave him in the van, I don't leave him for very long. And I put him by the window where like there's a really good breeze with our ceiling fan. So that's been manageable. And I recommend it because if you're flying solo, having a dog around is nice. So mm-hmm. Yeah, I think those are the major, like major pros, major cons there.
Okay. Nice. Yeah. You mentioned kind of like, yeah, you're traveling by yourself, traveling with a dog. How, from like a social standpoint, like what have been some good resources in terms of just like meeting other people like on the road? Any tips or recommendations?
Yeah. I have gotten a lot more active on Instagram since being on the road and have made friends that way. That's been really nice because if you tap into like the nomad community, you're talking to a bunch of other travelers. So they give you tips on where they've been. I found or got to go to this amazing campsite in Telluride, for example, because we met these guys at a campsite when my friend was with me. We met them at a campsite in Idaho, played cards, whatever, and like exchanged information. And then he sent me this campsite when I went there. It was unbelievably beautiful. And I wouldn't have found that if I hadn't talked to him. So chatting with people at campsites, like where it feels safe to do so. There is a community online that you can tap into. There is an app. It's called Seeker. It used to be called the Van Life app. And I know a lot of folks connect with people that way. I haven't met anyone through that yet, but some other Instagrammers I know like have met a lot of people that way. It shows you other folks in vans, like wherever you are, which is cool. And then, yeah, those are the main ways I've met people. And then just, yeah, I'm very introverted, but being by myself this often has made me a little more extroverted. So just like bringing up something random with like I made a couple of friends at this concert that I was at last night, or just, you know, chatting to whoever's next to you. People are a lot more open than I ever would have assumed. So I'm sure it depends on where you are, but that's been nice too. I made some friends that way too.
For sure. Nice. What have you noticed in terms of like the demographics? Like, have you seen a lot of like younger folks and stuff on the road?
Yeah, it's really mixed, honestly. I thought I was going to see more folks around my age, but it's very popular with folks that have retired. So I've seen a lot of retired couples or met a lot of retired couples. I've met the folks that are like probably like in their 40s and 50s. A lot of them I found have a home base and then like cruise around for the summer. But have met a lot of folks like that. Like anytime I see a van, I'm like peeking in to see who's in there, just not in like when we're driving. If you see a camper van, don't go peek it in there. It doesn't make people feel very safe. But like when we're driving, like looking to see who's driving. Because you usually get a wave or something. And yeah, it's more often like older folks than I would have expected, but there's definitely like a lot of other folks my age that are more often. Those are the folks that are doing it full time, I've noticed. But yeah, it's the whole range, which surprised me.
Nice. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. I feel like I heard from someone else that they expected it to just be like retired couples, but then it was a pretty like, they met people of all ages and different backgrounds and stuff. So that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So I wanted to ask you, what are some good, like, so definitely want to link up your Instagram so people can check that out and kind of follow along with your journey. And I want to ask you some questions about that, but I guess first,
sure.
Any good like recommendations on like different resources, like different YouTube channels or blogs that you found helpful either like while you're on the road or in terms of preparing?
Any like popular Instagram page, typically like they have a website, and I think that's a good place to start. I personally get overwhelmed by YouTube. If you're not overwhelmed by YouTube, like go find a YouTuber that is living a lifestyle similar to the one that you want to live. And it's the same with Instagram. Like there are some people who stay in one state and do van life. There are some people who travel the whole country. There are some people who do it seasonally. Like depending on what you want to do, see if you can find somebody who's doing it and then check out their website. Cause you know, all of those different variations have all sorts of different advice. I follow Chasing the Wild Goose has a good resource for meeting up with other folks on the road. She lists like a bunch of events. Divine on the Road has a lot of stuff on safety just like basics. Like you kind of do need somebody to guide you through like how to get rid of your gray water, like simple things like that, that feel like a no brainer once you're doing it. But in the beginning can be a little bit intimidating. But once you start looking, there's a ton of resources. There are a ton of people sharing, like, here's how I poop on the road. Here's how I like sleep at night. Here's how I keep myself safe. Like it's all over the internet. So yeah, once you find somebody doing it in a similar way that you want to, they've probably got a website.
Awesome. Okay, cool. Yeah. And I'll link up some of those that you mentioned there. Sweet. All right. So how about your Instagram, Towing Wild Oats? Is that based off your dog's name? Is that right?
Yes. My dog's name is Odie, O-A-T-Y. So we did a little play on words with that.
Very nice. Yeah. I'll definitely, link it up so people can check it out. But what can people like expect if they follow along with your journey on Instagram? What kind of content are you trying to share on there?
Yeah, I share a lot. I share everywhere I go, cool places I go. And then more recently have been sharing just more of like a personal journey for me. Recently we had a kind of scary moment on the road that is not typical. It's not something that, should scare folks off. It was just like an unfortunate series of events that happened and needed to take a little bit of a reset. Got an Airbnb in like, I have highlighted this on my Instagram. There's this like tiny town of 140 people in Colorado that we ended up in just to do two nights in an Airbnb. And it was awesome. And just kind of like reprioritized a lot of stuff. So just talking more with folks about self-care and just resting and recovering, advocating for yourself. That's been a lot of my content lately. I've talked with some folks in this little community that we've created, and we're going to do a self-care challenge at some point this fall. So there's a lot of travel tips, just places I've gone and I like to share some good like self-care, self-love content. And then there's just, a splash of dry humor in there every so often. Like we just had this afternoon, like this insane person on the road, just like yelling at me, like staying with my car for like 15 minutes, just being a crazy person. And I'm just like, this is insane. Like this is just ridiculous. So like, I don't know, just like poking fun at stuff that can normally get people really riled up when like big picture, it's like, this is just funny. So I'm not shy about poking fun at weird stuff like that.
Awesome. Well, cool. Yeah. I'll definitely link it up so people can check it out. And yeah, awesome. I think it's cool. You're sharing your journey and yeah, self-care and wellness stuff. I definitely am big into that. So definitely
nice.
We'll be following along for sure.
Cool. Yeah. We have some good conversations. So if anybody's curious, come follow along. It's a good time and we have some good chats.
Awesome. Sweet. Yeah. So Casey, what do you think is like next for your journey? I know you said you were kind of looking at different jobs and stuff, maybe like what are you kind of thinking for the future?
Yeah, I'm in the process of a job search now. Our food assistance program is winding down now. So kind of up in the air where I'll end up working, but I have my fingers crossed for something remote so I can keep doing this because I absolutely don't feel done with van life. The lifestyle is just one that is really well suited for me. And I feel like there's a lot more to explore. So yeah, it's kind of a little bit of a question mark, but I am pretty set on part of it still being on the road and working, remotely. So to be determined. Cliffhanger there for you.
TBD.
Yeah.
Very nice. Well, yeah, good luck with the job search and yeah, hopefully everything works out so you continue, living on the road and doing van life.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Cool. And then, one to ask, I like to, talk to people about kind of like daily habits. What are some of those things that you do on just like a daily or kind of regular basis that help keep you happy, healthy, productive? Could be all the above.
Yeah, that's something I've taken a lot more time to think about now. It was very easy for me to look at this life and think about all of the fun things that I get to do now. and just do them, because there is that freedom, especially working part-time. I can just make my own schedule and do what I want and go where I want. But there, I definitely recommend finding some kind of routine or something that is stable and consistent, because to do this long-term, you have to make it sustainable. So, you know, in apartment life, I was working out at least 4 times a week. That is my like emotional release. Just keeps me in a good headspace. And it was really easy to let that go because I don't have a gym membership. I don't, you know, I'm moving all the time. It's very easy to push aside. And that was not a good thing for me. So working out is one of those things. I am horrible at meditating, but I do try to do it. I'm in that phase where I'm like building up from 5 minutes. I'm at like 8 minutes now a day. There are so many things that you do need to keep in your head just because so many things are shifting. And I think it's easy to get pretty hypervigilant about things, particularly if you're, you know, worried about safety at any point. But the reality is, like, if you are in a calm place, you are much better off in handling things that come up as opposed to if you're in like a heightened state. So I try to just like give my mind some time, even if it's like 5 minutes, to just chill and shut off. That's been super helpful in like keeping me calm. Like if that's, and it's allowed me to like learn about myself that like I can keep a level head when things pop up. So meditating, working out, just try to figure out how like routines that, keep me sane in normal apartment, you know, living in one city life, making those work in the van. They look different for sure. But have had to incorporate those in there. I am a notebook gal for like productive, organized folks. I have it's called my full focus planner. I have tried so many notebooks, and this is the one that I stick with. I've gone through like 5 of them at this point. So that's my productivity go-to.
My full focus planner?
Yeah. It's Michael Hyatt, I believe. But yeah, if you Google full focus planner, they're awesome. They come in like quarterly notebooks and they're just awesome. They're worth a breeze through. It's the one notebook I've stuck with. Those are definitely the major ones. But yeah, just something that's consistent, because if you aren't focused on that, everything can be moving and that can definitely like wear on you over time and make it feel like this might not be something that's sustainable, but it's, you know, all about how you structure it that can really determine like how long you can stick with it.
Mm-hmm. For sure. I think that's so important. I like that you brought up kind of like having the routine. I was actually just talking to somebody before this about that. And I think some people look at like having a routine as it's like constricting and like limits their freedom. But for me, I think that's the case if it's like a routine that has been kind of given to you by like your job or like outside factors. But if it's a routine that you designed, then it's like super enjoyable to stick with your routine. Cause I'm kind of in the same boat. Like exercise is super important to me. Like I have to do it, try to do it most days a week. Mm-hmm. I'm also, I'm not good at meditating, but I've been trying to do some like breathing exercises like before bed. And that does like kind of calm me down. And I think it helps me fall asleep faster and just like relax and wind down a little bit. And then I've definitely used a lot of journals before. Lately, I have a decent like digital system with Notion. I have some different like templates that I've been using on there. But I do miss having like a physical like notebook to write on. One of my friends is telling me about the like Remarkable 2 tablet. Mm. So I was kind of looking at that, but it's also like $400. So I was like,
oh boy.
Not sure. So, but Notion's been working good, but I do miss the like actual paper journals sometimes.
Yeah. I rarely come across people who do. I love Notion. I have it. I do use it. I don't know what it is for me. I am so aware that it is so much easier to search through a digital like note-taking app or task manager or whatever. But for some reason, I just really like paper and a pen, and I've gotten okay at going back and finding stuff, but I don't know. But Notion is awesome. If that works for you, that's, I can see why. There's very little that can't do.
It, I would say, like, yeah, like bigger picture, I think it helps me keep track. And I do, yeah, try to journal. And it's like interesting looking back at like, yeah, previous months or previous years. But there is something about like a physical notebook. Something just feels better to me in terms of like actually writing stuff down myself, I think.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I can't explain it, but I agree. Yeah.
For sure. All right, Casey, last question here for you. What is something that you've learned about yourself since living a van life?
I definitely think the biggest lesson is, or learning has been, seeing how I think through different things and address challenges. And the reason that that has felt significant specifically in the van is because there is so much less noise in my day to day and so much less comparison. So if I have a problem I'm trying to think through, or just a phenomenon or concept I'm trying to make sense of in my head, the level of clarity that I've had more recently is so much more than I've ever had. Like, I'm not worried about, well, what's this person at the office going to think, or what's my friend who I'm going to see on Thursday going to say. Like, no one's around, and there's just, you know, especially with like city life, there's just like so much going on. You've got to think about things all the time. And there's a lot of that goes away. So sometimes I'll just be thinking through, like I'll use that example of this crazy person who was, had some crazy road rage at us today. I was able to look at this person and just think like, yes, you're being a jerk, but clearly I've like set off something that has bothered you or hurt you in your past at some point. And that thought came so quickly. Normally I would like get angry and then, you know, be angry on my drive. And then like maybe a couple of days later have that thought, but it, I don't know. There's just this like clarity from being out on my own and simplifying life that has allowed me to think through things a lot more clearly, which is nice. And yeah, like you have problems that come up every day. They can be tiny, they can be massive. But when you're moving your home and learning to live in a new place regularly, problems are going to happen. And just having them happen that regularly, there's very rarely a panic now or a, well, you know,
right,
that's it. Like, hands up, we're done. Like, there is a solution to most things. It may not be easy, but if you want to keep going, you've got to find it. So yeah, just like level head through moments like that. And for that, I'm very grateful and hope I maintain both of them if I do ever get sick of van life. Cause those have been very welcome changes for sure.
Awesome. Well, yeah, I appreciate you sharing those. Thank you.
Totally.
Cool. Casey, if people want to connect with you, they want to learn more about you and your story, where's the best place to find you at online?
Yeah. The best one is Instagram. Yeah. It's Towing Wild Oats. That's I'm there pretty often and share a lot of what's going on there.
Okay, sweet. Yeah, I'll link it up in the show notes so people can check it out.
Awesome.
Casey, yeah, this is a lot of fun. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, Eric. This was fun.
Thanks. Cheers.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the Nomad on Fire podcast. If you like the show, if you could do us a huge favor, and please subscribe on whatever platform that you're using to listen to this. If you could also leave a 5-star review, that would really help us out and allow the show to be available to more people. See you next time on the Nomad on Fire podcast.